One of the more important corporate stories right now is the cleanup at EOH. And if Shamila Botoy and Edward Kiesvetter arrived to pandemonium at the NPA and SARS respectively, I suspect the EOH chief executive, Stephen Funcall, has endured a similar bumpy landing. He's blacklisted 50 companies after EOH found nearly R1 billion worth of fake work and overbilling, most of it in the public sector part of the business. And Stephen Funcall on the line to us from Johannesburg. Question Wayne McCurry asked, and I wanted to ask you the same one, Stephen. Is who are these enterprise development partners, these 50 companies that you've blacklisted?
Hi, Bruce. How are you doing? Bruce, these companies are mainly people who've gone and, you know, taken a company off a shelf, registered it, got a bank account, and then have started business. So if you have a look at the 50 blacklisted ED suppliers, there's some common directors across them. And this is one of the issues you find. And so when I talk about lack of governance and control, obviously they've all failed the KYC and the ability to actually deliver to us. And what we found was that there were invoices that were submitted with like one-line explanations, consulting services or something, got allocated to a project. But when we went and asked the project manager, does this company do any work for you? They said no. And in some cases, the companies have admitted that they didn't do any work for us or they overcharged us.
I mean, how, again, you weren't there at the time, but how did they get away with it for apparently as long as they appear to have done so?
Well, if you have a look at it, Bruce, it's happened over 4 years, and we turn over 15 to 16 billion rand a year, and they took R1 billion out over 4 years, so let's say it was just equal, 250 million rand a year into 16 billion, you can divide it up, you know, very quickly and it disappears. And unless you've got proper controls and proper accounting systems, you can hide it somewhat. And this is exactly what happened. And it was only through the whistleblower that we knew where to go and have a look in all these accounts. And fortunately, it was in one place, in the public sector vertical, you know, perpetrated by eventually 11 individuals that we found. And we could actually see exactly how it happened, who was signing off on the invoices, who was authorizing the suppliers onto our database, and who was, you know, bucking the system. And so it was quite easy to contain, but obviously we've had to discontinue any contracts with them.
I mean, these are 11 individuals. These are people who are employees of EOH. What has happened to them?
Well, they've all either been dismissed or when we asked them to come for a disciplinary, they resigned immediately. And so we've, you know, obviously we've now gone through the criminal process because our legislation in South Africa requires that if you know any, if you suspect fraud above 100,000 rand, you are obligated to report it. Otherwise, you can be prosecuted for obscuring justice. And so that's what we've done. So we've been through that. I think we've now issued seven Section 34 reports in compliance with our bribery, Anti-Bribery and Corruption Act. And we've had two affidavits with the two case files open at the police. And we've spent some time with the Financial Intelligence Center, or ENS, giving them all the information that they wanted to, because clearly they've got an interest in the white collar crime.
I mean, is it your belief that these people were acting in concert, that this was organized crime at play in a single division within the group? And did people join the group in order to take advantage of the loopholes, or did they simply fall into a life of opportunistic crime once they'd got into the business?
No, I think it's a bit of both. I mean, what happened was, is, and I'm just trying to piece those bits together, so I'm not sure how factual it is, but basically, we bought two corrupt businesses, or EOH bought two corrupt businesses back in 2012 time. And then those businesses, I mean, it's a bit of a more complicated story, but those individuals who were the founders of those businesses then got, inserted into EOH in different roles. And if you have a look at the end of the day, it was two individuals who were the kingpins. And obviously they had some henchmen around them, direct reports, who I think got sucked into the easy money and started, you know, playing tag with these individuals. And that became the core of it, and you know, they were covering for each other.
I mean, and it's around this time, 2013, 14, 15, EOH, as far as the market was concerned, could do no wrong. It was doing amazing work in the public sector. We were seeing record share price gains year after year, best performer on the JSE a couple of years in a row. And this is the period during which this criminality that you've been uncovering now seems to have been taking place.
Yeah, Bruce, I think the most important thing here is to understand that we've got 11,000 employees, 270 businesses, and actually only in one of the businesses was, or, you know, one of the units was this corruption taking place. As I said to you, on an annualized basis, it was 250 million rand out of 16 billion of turnover. So the business, you know, the underlying business and the modularity of it is what's made it so strong and so good. And so we continue to deliver good work to our customers. The problem was is that people were using these large contracts as a way to siphon money out of the company. And they, you know, do it in small amounts, 1 million here, 2 million there, and, you know, they do it over a period of time. So very hard to track. So that had nothing really to do with the work we were delivering. It was more to do with people stealing.
But such an important lesson in terms of controls and governance. And, you know, this was a rapid company which was making acquisition after acquisition after acquisition. And lots of stuff was, you know, either being ignored or falling through the cracks.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, it really, if you have a look at the acquisition strategy, it really took off in around about 2012, 2013, and it grew incredibly fast. I mean, they were buying, if you just divide that by, you know, 10 years, they were buying something like 30 companies a year in the last 5 years. There's no way you can integrate 30 companies and make sure that you've got control over all the payments, all the contracting, all the bidding. And, you know, this is where it started fraying at the edges. And because people saw they could get away with a little bit, they then got away with a little bit more and a little bit more until it basically got out of control. And if you have a look at those slides I put in, you know, there's some big mistakes they made, but just five of them cost us 3.7 billion. And we went and borrowed money to plug that hole. And this is the problem. And actually, if we didn't make just half of those five mistakes, the company would actually be in a reasonable position today and they wouldn't be over-leveraged. If we didn't make any of those five mistakes, and it's just five bad business errors, including lack of governance and control and money being stolen, we wouldn't have any debt today.
And Stephen Vankola, we must leave it there. Thank you.
Okay.
Stephen Vankola, the chief executive of EOH, the big cleanup at that company.